We're about to kickstart the Carrie and Tommy Catch-Up podcast. Right now, get big brand vitamins and cosmetics for half price at Chemist Warehouse. Terms and conditions apply. Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
G'day, guys. How are we going for the Wednesday?
I don't know.
Oh, come on, mate. Get involved. Get in there.
Do you want me to do it again? We'll come in again.
I've just been up for hours every night. I can't sleep at the moment. Can anyone not sleep? Are you getting trouble sleeping?
Some whiskey will help you.
No.
I had a weird dream last night.
Did you?
Yeah, that I was fighting a dinosaur. It was super vivid.
Wow.
Yeah. Did you win?
Were you having some of those mushrooms that are
I think I was eating Carrie's chocolate,
Unbeknownst to me.
At least you're not having Carrie's dreams that she's hooking up with our online producer.
That's not happened. You're making things up. See? Don't make it awkward between
us. And now now you're up and about. Frisson's back. Hey, huge show. Earlier today I got up to something which I can't wait to share with you later in the show because
I don't know anything about this and I'm excited.
Just think Maverick and Goose.
Top Gun.
Yeah, think Top Gun.
Coming up next, though, something a husband should have been doing for 45 to 50 years now.
Oh God, and is that why you're hooking up with Eli?
He's tried it for the first time and the results have been so fabulous.
Wow.
Inspiration for men everywhere and women. All right.
Divorce? Is it divorce?
And children.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
So Joanne Sterling
is
married to Jim.
Jim Sterling.
They live in Manson, Washington.
Do they?
And Jim has just retired from his role as the boss of a hardware flooring store.
Yep.
He's around the house a lot more.
A life of hard work. Good on you, Jim. Yep. Congratulations. Great job.
Joanne has decided, after a lifetime of not pulling his weight around the house, after 45 years,
it
is time for him to start making the bed.
Jim's
the marital bed every morning.
You know
she
what he'll
like
do?
Him to make it.
He'll go back to work.
So she sets him the challenge. Jim rises to the occasion.
That's the one who he's making the bed for. You know, Tim loves a made bed, Jim. So he rises to the occasion
and every day he makes the beautiful bed, only Jim's not completely sure what to do with the extra pillows, the throw pillows, the cushions that perplex many, many a man.
Yeah.
The unnecessary.
The 47 cushions that even you throw on the floor.
Yes.
I mean, when it comes to bedtime. I don't understand.
No.
Geez, bedtime makes you feel young,
the
doesn't it?
The redundant bedtime.
babe, is it bedtime? Can we put the cushion on the floor?
Anyway, what he's done is so beautiful, and she's gone online and posted his attempts, and they've gone viral, and now Jim is a superstar. He's famous in his little community of Manson, Washington. The first day, he didn't really know what to do with them, so he piled them up high like totem poles.
Like two totem poles,
and he was proud of himself.
That's fun.
Yep. She didn't say anything. Next day he makes the bed again. This time he just lays them out flat across the bed. So not sort of up against the other pillows, just flat
in
a line.
She's thinking, you know who doesn't do this? Tim. Tim doesn't do this stuff.
And then the next day he puts them above the head pillows, your base pillows, but up against the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Almost like quite high.
Like you could sit upright in there.
Yes. And then he notices that his wife and daughter are posting his attempts online and he's getting a bit of attention. So he makes it his challenge now every day to make the bed, do something funny with the throw pillows, and he's now gone viral.
Isn't
that's
that
what
tough
you do with your retirement. He's racked up 20,000 likes now because of his throw pillow combos.
That's not bad stats.
But I did find it interesting because I couldn't care less whether my bed was made. But there's people that are obsessed and get really frustrated that their partners won't make their bed or help them make the bed every single morning.
Yeah, I don't care for a made bed whatsoever.
I don't either. No, Sonda over here, she's a proud bed maker.
Remember, it's because it's always written up. Like that's the one thing that successful people share is a trait.
It's from
is
that
they get
book,
up and make
Seven the Rich Habits of Highly Successful People. Isn't that what it was
is
called?
Is that you, Sonda?
Well, I've realised I'm not rich, but I do all of the things in that book. So I'm going wrong somewhere. But so I make my bed every day.
Oh, no, his book's called Me, We, Do, Be.
They're the things he does in the bed.
Me, We, Do, Be.
What's happened?
That's the name of the book. He writes in his new book, Me, We, Do.
Jeez, he's really fallen off a cliff since the last one, hasn't he? So you do. Anyway, why do you make your bed?
Because it makes me feel like a legend. I've gotten up and I've made my bed. I've nailed life. I've done one thing right.
You haven't. You've made your bed. That's what you've done.
Shut up, mate.
Well, do you do any of these other things? Because some of the other things are you got to exercise every day. These are apparently the seven tips from MeWe Do Be.
Yeah.
You make your own bed. You read.
Yep.
You wake up early.
Yep.
You've got good etiquette.
Yep.
Debatable. You prioritise your relationships.
Absolutely.
I guess it depends who you're prioritising. You plan out your day and you write things down.
Yep.
You write things down. That's very vague.
Most of these books are pretty vague.
Some of the stuff he's written down for his next book are Me, We, Do, Be. Jesse, do you make your bed?
No.
Who else is there? I reckon...
Belle definitely does.
Yeah, Belle would make Caitlin everybody's bed. Belle...
No, we
she's
can't
off either. Making beds. Yeah. What is Marshy? I reckon Marshy's got other stuff going on. He's not bothering to make his bed.
He's such a collector of stuff. Remember, I feel like he would make his bed.
Marshy, you there? No. Where's our team going?
They're off making their beds.
Sorry, we couldn't hear you. What did you say? Oh,
I didn't know that.
So he just said that the listeners won't be able to hear him. But yeah.
Has that been the whole way? Have we been going to Marsh for special comments for the last few months and listeners haven't been able to
There's
hear?
It's just dead air while Marshy speaks to us and we go, oh.
You'd
he
never
says
make
he doesn't.
Bed.
No, okay. I didn't think okay. so. What about Eli, my lover?
Yeah, we got Eli.
No.
I should know. I should know. In my dreams, he makes his bed.
Eli, do you make your and Carrie's bed?
Yes, in regards to the bed. Sorry, what was the question?
Do you make your bed?
No.
No. Does anyone? So did Belle and Caitlin, or
there are times that I do. Yeah, if I just change my sheets, I'll do it. But the moment I sleep in at one night, it just gets all creased, and I kind of feel it defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, because
Caitlin's charging in now. Cooled.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Caitlin. Yeah, I make my bed.
Yeah, you know. Sleep in the barn. What?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
So maybe you don't have to make your bed to be successful because we've got a pretty good team of people. Let's go to the
I just 13, don't know 10, what that's saying about the people in our team that have made their bed. Yeah, there's no correlation.
Okay, do you make your bed every day? Call us 131060. Is it a thing you do every single morning and you're just not successful?
Yeah, great. That's
the key
to success.
You're a loser who makes their bed.
Don't call them a loser. 131060. Do you make your bed and you're not successful? Call us.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
We've discovered apparently making your bed every morning is one of the seven habits of highly successful people, says the guy who wrote the book Me, We, Do, Be.
Me, We, Do, Be.
We were talking about a couple in Washington. The husband hasn't made a bed in 45 years and his wife said, you're retired, now's the time to do it.
And he thought he'll make it
internet,
fun.
Really. Yeah, he did lots of fun things with the throw cushions.
I don't know how long that's going to last because he's made the cushions in every shape you can conceive,
it's
and it's
done
a photo
now.
A day. Yeah. That's a week ago. Yep.
Yeah, he's not getting as many likes as he wanted at
no.
the beginning. Yeah.
No, he's probably cutting up cushions at this stage and trying to spread them around. Tegan, we're asking for people who make their beds every day but they're not successful, who fly in the face of this theory. Do you make your bed every day, Tegan?
Yes, I do.
And are you successful?
No, I am not.
By whose standards, though, Tegan, are you not successful?
Oh, look, probably my own standards, to be honest. But, you know, I was a stay-at-home mum for 6 years, and then once the kids started back at school, you know, I just got a supermarket job. So that's all I do.
That's a lot, Tegan. I wouldn't downplay staying at home and raising your kids. It's even harder to be at home than it is to go to work, I reckon.
Probably.
Yeah.
But, yes, I make my bed and I make the kids' bed every single day. And if there's a crease in the bed, I will re-fix them up during the day.
Oh, my God.
Good, man.
Yeah.
That's great.
Wow.
Hey, Tegs, do you, when you hear this theory, what do you think?
I don't know.
It sounds like it's something that you're going to pass down to your kids, is it?
Oh, look, probably not, to be honest.
Nah.
Why do you do it then, Tegan?
Oh, you know, I'm kind of like Sonia, to be honest. It makes me feel good. I feel like I have accomplished something for the day. It's like, yes, let's do this.
Yeah.
I don't know how much more for the day I get done, but, you know, it does make you kind of feel good. That, and I think if the rest of the room's messy, it kind of makes it look cleaner.
Yeah.
Like, you know, our main bedroom, you walk in and you go, oh, the bed's made, it looks clean, like, but it's not.
When was the last time hubby made the bed?
Oh, never. We've been married 10 years only a couple of weeks ago, and... yeah, together 15, and never made the bed.
It's good, because if he does, you end up with pillows everywhere, and he'll take photos of it and put it on the internet and think it's hilarious.
To be honest, to be fair on him, I would probably remake it, because
he would have a brief in it. So, good on you, Teagues. It's great. Let's go to Gabrielle. Gabrielle, do you make your bed every day?
G'day, guys. I don't. I make my... well, actually, I do, but I make my bed pretty oddly.
Oh, what do you do?
So I actually make my bed before I get into it overnight time.
Oh, like just before?
Yeah.
Why?
I've just always done it. I guess I'm getting ready for bed, so I just lay all my doonas out nicely and fluff my pillows and jump on in.
But I think that makes sense. I'm now thinking, why do it 12 hours before?
Because every time you walk past it, you'll feel better about seeing it.
Oh, is it about seeing it? It's not about getting in it.
Nah, although it's true. It's funny, Gabrielle, because you do like getting into a very nicely made bed at a hotel when you stay in a hotel.
I don't really care what it looks like during the day. I just, as long as it's comfy overnight time, like, I'm all good.
Gab, I reckon this is good.
Are you successful, Gab?
I like to think so, by my standards, definitely.
Maybe that we've he needs an eighth tip in his book, Me, We, Do, Be. It's make your bed before you get in it at night.
Make a bed before you get in it. Yeah, I feel like Gab's words of I'm successful by my standards.
That's all that matters, mate. It's not by anybody else's standards.
Mate, you suggested this cool topic. Now you're being all everybody's perfect.
No, I just think so many people have called up that we're obviously all...
Okay, you go to the next one.
Lauren, are you successful? Do you make your bed every morning?
I make my bed every morning and I have a fractured hip and don't leave the house and I still get up and make my bed every morning.
Bloody hell. That's impressive.
It is.
Yeah. And, Loz, why do you make your bed?
Hand cushions. Why do I make it? I don't know. Yeah. Satisfaction, I guess.
How'd you fracture your hip, Lauren?
I fell down a flight of stairs.
Oh, carrying up the sheets? Like, what were you doing?
No, like 2 days before all this isolation stuff happened.
Yeah, I know the word you wanted to use. Yeah. It's how we all feel about isolation.
Yeah. So all the way through isolation, I've had a fractured hip and I've been going swimming in the ice-cold bath. It's my physio and it's been bad.
Well, I mean, the good news is there's no FOMO because no one else is doing anything.
I know. I still make my bed, though.
It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little. This is Carrie and Tommy.
Doing it all thanks to Chemist Warehouse, big brands every day.
Oh, you know what you can get there at the moment? Some photo-ready powder light from Revlon.
Oh, that'd be great.
If you're doing heaps of Zoom meetings and stuff and you want your face looking good, just pad in a little photo lighting.
And if it's your first time back into the office, if you've been in isolation for a bit and then you're heading in, get in there and make yourself look stunning.
Free shipping over $50 too. Get a few things.
What, are you saying they need quite a bit of stuff to make them look stunning?
I'm just saying. It's been a while since a lot of people have worn makeup.
Hey, up next, Bickers.
What are we doing? You tell me.
You can have the choice. Do you want the guy that warded off? Do you want the guy that warded off attackers, or do you want an investment that I think our show needs to make?
I mean, every day you bring me a new investment, I'm a bit
attackers.
Yeah,
next,
let's do attackers.
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
Okay, did you hear about this, Bickers? The Truganina man who got his house broken into, and he took matters into his own hands. Do you know about this?
Yes, I do. We did this last night.
I should have grabbed it off your news program then, and not Channel 9. But here, this is
getting ready for bed, taking a shower. And bang!
The would-be thieves stormed into the Truganina home demanding the keys to the couple's Mercedes.
Terrifying. I'm not going to lie.
Unable to find his keys, Mike acted on instinct.
I'm not going to grab, I don't know, a bin or something like that. It's like, well, what's something I can swing? What's in that room? Guitar.
Choosing the cheapest one in his collection, chasing the bandits to their getaway car.
I was angry. I'm like, well, you broke my front door. I'm going to one for one. Bang! The back of the car.
I love, he said he picked up his 21st guitar. This is in further quotes.
Meaning he got it for his 21st or he's got 21 guitars?
I don't know. I decided to use it like a battle axe and chase them down the street. You know what's great? Sometimes they ask people who have been involved in these things for reenactments. They go, oh, so like what did you say to him?
Like the didgeridoo, was it the didgeridoo man earlier this year?
I don't remember.
Yeah, and they got him to run down the street and reenact it.
Right. Yeah. The chick chick boom girl.
Yes, the chick chick boom.
Yeah, they often get it with sounds of things they say. What does the explosion make? Okay. If you are a witness to anything and a TV crew asks you to do that, don't do it.
Yeah.
There's no way.
It'll end up with us laughing about it on the project.
Yeah, because you end up going, I think the gun went like, pew, 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 pew. Anyway, what I love about this book is they clearly got him to do the reenactments. Now, some people are scared of their reenactments and go quiet. They're like, oh, boys, settle down. Guys, don't do that. I'll get my guitar. He really puts his back into it.
Come on, boys, let's go. Come on, you bastards.
It's pretty funny hearing someone go, come on, you bastards, with a guitar in hand.
A guitar, yeah.
I think of Soft Souls when I think of guitar.
Well, yeah, it sounds like he's screaming at a mosh pit while he's going.
Yes, I feel like he could have played the track that would be underneath in the music at the time of running after the robbers while chasing.
Yeah. What do you want to do with this? Because I realise there's a blank space on the whiteboard. Well, I wanted to do, have you ever been hit with a guitar? Because
who's been hit? Oh, like at a pub.
I feel like acoustic guitars, you see in the movies all the time that people get hit with them. Like they're always in slapstick comedies, someone always ends up with their head through a guitar and strings over their head. And it wasn't until this guy that I thought, I wonder if that fits into the same category as the banana peel, that it happens all the time in comedy movies but never happens in real life.
All right.
131060, have you ever been hit with a guitar? Give us a call.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
And we're talking about a bloke who chased off would-be attackers with a guitar from his own home. They wanted his
21st
Mercedes.
Not sure if he's got 21 guitars or if he got it for his 21st.
We don't know. And he ran down the street screaming. Have we got a bit of him yelling there?
Come on, boys, let's go! Come on, you bastards!
And he smashed up the car with the guitar.
Yeah. Yep. And I realised I've never seen someone get hit with a guitar. I've seen it in comedy movies. Someone always seems to get a balsa wood guitar broken over their heads. Yeah. And it's very funny. And I've never seen it in real life. This is the closest I've come to it. And so I thought I'd ask on 131060, have you been hit or hit someone with a guitar? Luke, are you the hitter or the hitty?
Yeah, I'm here, guys. Hey, Tommy. Hey, Carrie.
Hey, legend. Luke. Have you been hit with a guitar?
Yes, I have. It was about when I was 4 years of age. I used to go next door and play with this young girl, Sarah. And I don't know what I did to her, but, yeah, she basically picked up the guitar by the end of the strings and smashed it over my head.
Did it smash?
Yeah, it broke over my head, and I was never allowed back over there ever again after that. And then
was Sarah your age too? Was she four?
Yeah, she had exactly the same age. And then I never actually saw her again until I got introduced to this girl, Sarah, again in grade eight, and we both went to the same boarding school. I'm like, aren't you the girl who hit me over the head with guitar when I was four? And we're just like, what? We literally hadn't seen each other since.
And was it a ukulele or was it a... Oh, you don't know, you're four. Sorry,
I think it probably was like a ukulele guitar. Like, it wasn't a massive guitar. Like, it wasn't much bigger than us, so...
Mate, I love it.
It's cute when it's four-year-olds.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Did it give you a scar? Do you still have a guitar scar?
No, I got no scar, but we were able to catch up on old times after that, after we realised who each other were, so it was pretty funny. We're still friends today, so it's all good.
Oh, that's a sweet story.
Yeah. Yes.
It is.
Yeah, it is. Who do you want to go to next? Because
up to you. It's your segment, mate.
Let's go to Jackie. G'day, Jackie.
G'day, Tommy and Cardi.
How are you, Jax?
Oh, Jackie, you're lucky already. Have you called before, Jackie?
No, I haven't called before.
Well, welcome to the show. We love having you. Have you been hit with a guitar?
Yes, I have. When I was about 10 at a Catholic primary school.
What happened?
I went to sing for the choir with a teacher called Sister Anne, and I didn't sing very well, so she belted me on the side of the face with a guitar.
Oh, God.
Jax, was it traumatic or was it as funny as it is in the movies?
Well, it's funny now, but it wasn't at the time. I was only 10.
did it put you off singing?
I couldn't sing anyway. My father was a singer, but I couldn't sing.
Thank you.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
I think it is time for this show to invest. Remember how you brought it to our attention that Michael Jordan's shoes sold just the other day, $560,000, worn in a game.
Air Jordans from 1985.
Yes, and signed by the great man. And then I thought,
that's a lot of money.
Isn't it? But we don't need to get in there. Remember how Russell Crowe put all his stuff up for sale?
His divorce auction.
There was stuff in there.
Oh, from Gladiator.
The jockstrap from Gladiator. Right. And John Oliver ended up buying it. And I thought, that was a man.
Why would you buy something? What would you have bought? There was a carriage there?
I would have bought the jockstrap.
Would you have bought that?
Yes. Imagine tooling around in Russell Crowe's jockstrap. That's weird.
How often are you wearing a jockstrap?
Well, never, because I haven't bought
one. What do you actually use a jockstrap for?
Strapping your jocks.
But in what sport?
You put a box in it.
Oh, like cricket.
Cricket, or like they use it in the hockeys, and right. I think they use it in pretty much every American. It's an American thing.
How much did it go for?
Good question.
Sorry, shouldn't have asked. I'm just trying to work out what kind of money you would have spent.
Oh, in for a jockstrap of Russell Crowe?
Yeah.
$10,000, I think.
$10,000?
Yes. Yep.
So hold on, are you buying something, or collectively we're all having to put
in? Let's buy something as a team. Because France is saying they should sell the Mona Lisa. That's not what I'm looking for.
We discovered the Mona Lisa's real name yesterday.
The
Gioconda.
Conda. Yes. The Gioconda.
Do you know John Lennon's housekeeper?
Which is also what Russell Crowe kept in his jockstrap.
John Lennon's housekeeper sold off his tooth.
How much?
Sold off John's tooth for $31,000. Maybe we could buy someone's tooth.
That's a good buy. You know I'm trying to find my page where I've got
stuff. Give you some
Tommy,
I'll give you some more stuff.
I have some bad news for you, mate. You would have won the bid on that jockstrap.
How much?
$7,000.
Oh, no! Formidable!
This is weird. Kim Kardashian paid $65,000.
Did you take my bag?
More than three times the expected selling price for a velvet jacket worn by Michael Jackson for her six-year-old daughter, North. It's a weird purchase.
That is weird. Jon Stewart is selling his suits from The Daily Show. They're only $740 a piece at the moment.
I don't want a suit of Jon Stewart's.
No, but that's how much the suit would cost. Like, that's just quite good. It's a talking point to have up in your house. $740, and then someone walks in and you say, that's Jon Stewart's suit.
Or you'd frame it. Yeah, you just wear it for dinner.
I reckon
parties.
I'd wear it. Yeah. This is Jon Stewart's suit. Yeah. That's fun. What else can we get? Because
maybe you could wear it on the project and pretend you're like one of the real hosts.
Are the real hosts selling any of their stuff? Maybe. How much can we sell one of Pete's jockstraps?
All right, so what are we wanting to buy?
I just want to know from people if they've bought a celebrity's item. If you've bought a celebrity thing, because I'm looking for something a little more entry level than
Taylor Lautner.
Yeah.
Twilight. He's selling stuff to raise money for COVID-19. I don't know what stuff he's selling, but we could check out that while people are calling through.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give us a call. What do you own? Because I'd like to know, just out of interest's sake, what interesting celebrity stuff you've got. And then if it's the right price, we might invest as a show, buy it off you.
J-Lo's got stuff up for grabs. Oh, I could buy something of J-Lo's, then wear it and really the Aussie J-Lo.
You could get in touch with J-Lo and just say, hey, Swapsy.
Yeah.
You have one of mine.
I'd look just the same.
Yes, you could give her that manky hairpiece that you keep in your handbag and carry around that looks like a dead possum, and you're like, no, that goes in my hair. Another thing that's terrifying.
Okay, I hurt you before. You don't need to get me back.
131060, do you own an item of a celebrity's stuff? Give us a call.
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
I want a celebrity's stuff. You always see, we saw Michael Jordan's shoes sold the other day, $560,000. He wore them during a game and autographed them. But then there was some more odd stuff, and it often comes up. Russell Crowe's auction, I didn't bid on one thing, and I reckon we could have got a Russell Crowe item.
You're living with regret.
I am. What? Not buyer's remorse.
Non-buyer's
remorse. Whoa.
Alex, what did you get?
I've got Pat Cash's headband.
Oh, wow.
Fully, like a real sweaty one off after a match?
Yep. Apparently it was one that he wore when he won Wimbledon, but I'm not sure.
That's exactly the question I was about to
that's
ask.
That's how most famous things are. I think it was when they, but not sure.
Do you know what's amazing about Cashy's headband? Is it's an item of clothing, but he's the only one that ever wore that headband. Like the black and white checkered headband is Pat Cash's headband.
So, but what else are you buying? If you buy J.Lo's red carpet dress.
No, but what
from
I mean is if you see a
Oscars,
dress.
It's not
if
like,
you see,
lots of people have worn that.
If you see a dress,
yeah.
You don't instantly go, that's J.Lo's dress. But with that headband.
I mean, I would.
Would you?
Yeah.
Because you who stalk her really weirdly. How so? Did
you're
you
saying
get it
so? You get a lot of kudos for it because it's easily recognizable.
Well, if you have that in a case, someone goes, "Oh, that's Pat Cash's headband." Yeah, without needing to see a plaque. Alex, so did you get given it? Did you say?
Yes, I was given it. Yes.
How good's that? And have
as
you...
as a gift, like as a present, or just somebody didn't want it anymore?
No, he had it. Somebody working for him, like a sports trainer, that was good friends with a next door neighbour's friend who just appeared one day and said. There you go, there's Pat Cash's headband. Oh, and it's one of the ones he wore in Wimbledon. So, yeah.
Is it signed as well, Alex?
No. Oh, it's got his signature embroidered in it.
Oh.
What do you reckon Tommy should buy? He wants to buy something.
I'd have to find it. I reckon it's in a laundry cupboard somewhere.
Would you sell it?
Yeah, I probably would, yeah.
How much, you reckon? What would you want?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, you go away and work on that. Think about that. We'll see what else is on offer.
I'm sceptical.
That he actually wore it at Wimbledon?
Because I don't think
she's
Pat
still
Cash
here, she can hear you.
Would have embroidered his own. I reckon he got released them as a line of signature headbands.
But he probably just wore one of them, didn't he?
They wouldn't have been signature headbands for Wimbledon. Because that's when it became iconic.
Oh, it was after he won
yes,
that he brought out
I reckon
range.
The friend has just gotten off the shit. But luckily, we whispered that. Nobody else heard it. Craig, what have you got, Craig?
Hi, guys. How you going?
Good legend. Do you have a celebrity's thing?
Mate, I do. I've got the Holy Grail here. So what I've got in my possession is Craig Lowndes' first ever winning championship garland and trophy from Eastern Creek back from 1996.
Wow.
How did you get that, Craig?
No, got contacts here, there and everywhere, but I just managed to pick it up a few years ago and I sort of found it in the container and stuff.
You stole it, didn't you, Craig?
Yeah, does Lowndes know he's missing it?
I actually don't really understand why the drivers weren't given this sort of thing, but this has come from directly from the manufacturer he used to race for back in the day, so...
Wow. What do you reckon it's worth, Craig?
Well, I've been offered $8,000 for the garland and about $6,000 for the trophy, but I don't think I could part with them, to be honest.
That's a stack of cash.
Craig,
though,
I'm so impressed, but I'm also, I've got to be honest, I don't know what a garland is.
It's a wreath that goes around the neck with the
that's what they wear.
Or a wreath or whatever you want to call it.
Because
so.
they chuck that around their neck and then they hold up the trophy.
Then they hold up trophy, spray the champagne. So, I've got his, the first ever race win for his first ever V8 championship race. 96.
It's interesting that neither Alex nor Craig bought these things.
You reckon you just get to them?
Maybe you just find them. Or steal them in Craig's situation.
Yeah. You've got to steal them off the person involved. That's great, Craig. Let's go to Glenn. G'day, Glenn.
How you going?
Mate, living the dream, but I'm looking for some celebrity stuff. What have you got?
Well, at the Tokyo Olympics, Dawn Fraser was accused of stealing a Japanese flag, and the Japanese government tried to get her for it, and she was acquitted, and we've got the flag.
No way.
What?
Because do you know how... This basically, well, it kind of ruined Dawn Fraser's swimming career, right? It was right.
Yeah, there was a big issue around it.
Well, she was banned from competing for 8 years, Glenn?
I think so, yeah, something like that.
And it denied her, a whole handful of gold medals.
So how did you get your hands on it, Glenn?
My grandmother was best mates with her. They used to play like golf tournaments and stuff together. And we've got photos of her holding the flag in our lounge room and stuff at home. And my grandmother put the flag away. She was Dawn gave it to her as like a joke gift. And my grandmother put it away and we've got it in a box somewhere. We don't even, it's so irrelevant to us because we were sort of friends. We've got it in a box somewhere in storage.
Tommy wants it, Glenn. I can see the look in his eye.
And the great thing is about all these themes, it's all been friends giving it to friends. So Glenn, can you give me the flag?
If I could find it, I'd consider it, Tommy.
Oh, that's not a no.
It's one of the most significant items in Australian sport.
Don't reinforce that.
I mean, it's just a flag. But Glenn, it's a fantastic story. Glenn, can we touch base with you tomorrow and can we see if you've found the flag?
Yeah, yeah. I'll have a look. Like I say, we've moved many times and stuff. I'm not even sure whether we can go, but I can. Worst case scenario, I can at least show you the photo, and that'll give you.
Mate, that'd be great. Thanks, Glennie. That's bloody good stuff, everybody.
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little. It's time for Bickmore's Bits.
Here we go now.
What a cover up.
Oh, I know, God. I get it right. I got some bits to bring you. However, it's been a while since producer Belle was so fired up about something happening with the Kardashians.
Is it Jenna back with someone or apart from someone?
No, it's Disick.
What's Scott Disick done? Is that right?
I don't know, Belle.
Is that right?
You've peppered me with like 50 text messages about something I do not care about. What's going on?
Well, there's rumours that Scott Disick, so that is Kourtney Kardashian's ex-baby daddy, mm-hmm. has broken up with his girlfriend, Sophia Richie, who's Lionel Richie's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been together for like 2 years.
Ooh.
Mm. They're really
serious. Why do you think this? Where's the rumours coming from?
It came from New ID Instagram.
Oh, my God, mate. Are you joking me?
Aren't you too young for New ID
Instagram? I don't actually follow them. It just came up in my Explore feed.
Boom.
Is that the photo? I did see some photo circulating of a girl sitting on his lap wearing a pink like suit.
Yeah, that's her. Yeah, that was ages ago, but yeah, that's pretty.
Yeah. That was ages ago, Carrie. Sorry. Oh my God. Oh my God. Carrie, is that the photo you've just seen? Where did you even find that? The old web? Oh my God.
Is there anything else I need to bring in my bits today that is earth shatteringly important?
I still don't understand what that story was. Scott Disick is with someone or not with someone?
Sophia Loren. No, Sophia, what's her name?
Loren. Richie.
Sophia Richie.
Yeah.
Oh. And so are they together or not together?
No, they may not be.
Whoa, no way. Whoa,
maybe
guys.
You could get with her, Jesse.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
I mean, just give her a call.
Say the thing.
2 days in a row.
Say the thing you wrote down, mate. Come on. Throw a cat amongst the pigeons here. Go on, Bicker. Say it.
Stop it.
Okay, what's the next thing?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, gosh. Who's he? Jessica wrote him.
I didn't realise that his daughter, Catherine Schwarzenegger, is husband, is wife to Chris Pratt.
Is what? Is wife to Chris Pratt. Chris is with a Schwarzenegger.
Yes, I didn't know that. Yeah, they're expecting their first baby together. And Arnie was on a talk show talking about how this grandchild that he can't wait to meet is going to have the superpower of having a bit of Schwarzenegger in it and a bit of Pratt in it, Jurassic Park style. Here's what he had to say.
I was just thinking about the gene pool. I mean, think about this for a second. I mean, here's the part Kennedy and part, the Schwarzenegger and the Pratt. I mean, we can do anything. We can go and solve the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Oh.
We can go and kill predators with our bare hands. And we go and train dinosaurs. I mean, think about it. That is a lot of power here. I mean, just the worst thing is if this kid ends up, with my accent. I mean, that's what we don't want.
His miso is a Kennedy.
Yes. What's her name?
Maria Shriver.
Maria Shriver. That's
his ex.
Are they not together anymore?
No.
Where's Shriver come from?
He had a love.
If she's a Kennedy.
The nanny.
The nanny.
That's right.
Where's Shriver come from?
I don't know. She's related to the Kennedys, though.
This has been a confusing bit, hasn't it?
Finally, one more bit that Belle also brought to me earlier today. I feel like you might as well just bring the rest of the bits about Legally Blonde 3.
I know. Oh. Reese Witherspoon this morning, it was the first thing on my Instagram feed. It was so exciting. There's going to be a Legally Blonde 3.
Oh, my
Like 20
G.
years after the first one.
Crazy.
Is it going to have Reese in it?
Yes, apparently.
Yeah, who's going to make it? Who's going to write it?
Mindy Kaling and Dan Gore.
Oh, she's funny.
Mindy Kaling.
It's going to be good.
She's very funny.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, she's good. From Parks and Rec. And so is that definitely happening or is this something that's maybe happening?
No.
I think it's definitely happening.
Yeah.
And is Scott Disick going to be in this one?
Unlike the Scott Disick thing, which is probably definitely not happening.
Because he's with Lionel Richie.
With Kennedy.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Bickmore, we've teased it through the show, but it is here.
I don't even really know what you're about to tell me or show me.
Okay, so here is what is going on currently. It is called the Push-Up Challenge. You can look it up, thepushupchallenge.com.au. This is happening all around the country at the moment. It is raising money for Headspace, a fantastic
organisation.
Yes, who help young people all around this great country dealing with mental health problems in crisis. They do fantastic work. So far, over $2 million have been raised. The challenge is to complete 3,046 push-ups.
3,046. In what time frame?
Up to May 31st. So you can take your time. You can do it as part of a team or you can try and knock them out all as one.
Yep.
The reason I'm bringing it up...
No one would be able to knock it out all in one, would they?
We will get to that later.
3,000? What?
But right now... And there is some significance to that figure.
Okay.
I will talk to you about that a bit later as well. The bit I want to bring to you is there's a great prize on offer for whoever raises the most money for Headspace. They will get to go in a fighter jet with Stephen Gale, a pilot. He's fantastic.
Top Gun style.
Top Gun style, right? And just
what, to do loop-de-loops and spins and stuff?
To do loop-de-loops and spins and stuff.
Is that the technical term? Yeah.
Boy, Stephen, can we do spins and stuff?
loop-de-loop is the technical term, isn't it?
Loop-de-loop, yep.
Yeah.
Barrel rolls, I think, are the side
barrel
ones.
Rolls.
But anyway, yeah. I'm still buzzing a bit because I got to do said experience. We went out, we met Stephen, and this unfolded.
Steve, you're my pilot today. What are we in, firstly?
A Marchetti S211.
Yep.
Used to be owned by the Singapore Air Force.
It's so great. Do you still get a thrill every time you go up?
It never gets old. It just, every time I go, it sort of sends a shiver through my spine. It's fantastic.
Well, everything about it's fantastic. Even the kit.
Oh, that's
I didn't
cool.
realise we actually got like Top Gun suits.
Oh yeah, you have. It's actually extremely important that you wear them. Do you know why?
Why?
It'll look cool. Yeah. You know, you got to look cool. It's,
absolutely.
Now, there's something I've noticed, and I'm not sure whether to take it personally or not. Do you always give people spew bags in their suits?
I'd like to keep the inside of my plane looking tidy, thanks. So, you know, just in case.
You did let me know that if I start to get sick, to let you know immediately, because it makes it not fun. I imagine that not fun is for both of us.
Mostly you, but yeah, a little bit me. You'll be cleaning it up if you make a mess, so that's part of the joy.
It's quite close quarters in there. How many times have you been spewed on?
I've never actually been spewed on, because remember, these things have got an ejection seat and there's a blast shield between us.
Yeah.
So it just goes bleh onto the onto the shield and that's it. So you're in your own little cocoon.
Well, and if it gets too bad, you just shoot me out of it.
Exactly.
That's great. Let's talk about the push-up challenge for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You are taking part in the push-up challenge.
Of course, yep.
Why is it important to you?
Everyone has a bad day from time to time and I'm no different. That's my go-to, not necessarily push-ups, but to go and do some exercise. Even if I can't seem to manage anything else, I do that every single time I feel better.
Yeah.
And I've lived that way since I was about 18 or 19 when I was in the Air Force. That's what we were sort of required to do, and I've kept it up ever since. And basically every day I exercise.
Obviously, the push-ups are important, but donations are also important.
Absolutely. Headspace doesn't run itself.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're doing the push-up bit because we'd like people to cough up and help them to do the good work they do.
Headspace do amazing work supporting people in crisis and looking after the mental health of our great nation.
Whoever does the most fundraising will get a ride in this, just like Tommy's about to.
Yes, there's nothing like supporting mental health awareness by doing something crazy. Do you have a like a maverick goose? Do you have a cool name, cool flight name?
I'm about as cool as a urine sample, so yeah, Steve, that's about it.
Can I go with a cool name?
What do you have in mind?
Squatting Wolf?
No.
Damn it.
Yep.
Tommy it is.
Yep.
Let's go, Steve.
Okay, thank you.
Did you loop-de-loop?
I will tell you whether I loop-de-looped, whether I barrel-rolled, and whether I spewped. I'll tell you all next.
It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
And if you want to check out the awesome video of what we're talking about at the moment, jump onto at Carrie Tommy video Instagram.
At Carrie Tommy video.
Gosh, that's how bad I normally am. You're the guy that's meant to get
I'm
it right.
Learning some things.
Yeah, you learned some things, didn't you?
Yes, I've just been up in a fighter jet. It is the prize that you get for whoever raises the most money for the push-up challenge currently going on at the moment to raise money for Headspace, the National Youth Mental Health Foundation. I just
checked in. Incredible work, especially at the moment.
Yes.
With the current mental health of our nation.
Yes.
It's extremely important.
And the youth unemployment rate being double the rest of the nation. I said over $2 million they've raised so far, the push-up challenge. They've raised $3.2
million.
Wow. Yep. Fantastic incredible stuff. A trip in a fighter jet is what you win if you raise the most money. I just played the start of my trip with Steve, my pilot, then. We took off and he had gave me a spew bag because he said about half of people spew on the first time because you experience up to 6 Gs and you go 750K an hour. You know the force where it rocks
G-force.
All you.
G-force.
Yeah. Yeah, G-force. Yeah, bro. G-force, bro.
I thought that was a gene brand. G-star.
That's G-star. Yeah. I don't know how many G-star you experience on the way up there. So we took off. And it's little, right? And then we straight away did a couple of barrel rolls and it was the best.
Do you feel sick instantly?
No.
No.
I was like, yeah, yeah, woo.
Is that funny in your tummy? Like a light feeling?
No, I don't
feeling?
Get sick, mate.
No, no, I mean like an adrenaline, like a light feeling because you're going upside down.
It was just fun. No, right. Not even that. It happened so quick that that doesn't even happen. And then we got out and we got over the ocean. And then he goes, do you want to do a loop-de-loop, right? And I said, you mean a whoopsie-doo, thanks, Steve? And I said, yeah. And he slowly goes up, and that's when you start feeling it's heaps slower. And so that's when you feel yourself, like, floating and starting to move upside down. Yep, going up. And when you get upside down, you're like, oh. And then it rockets back to earth, and you see the ocean appear in front of you. And that's when all your guts, like, it pushes right up against you. But I'm fine because I don't spew. Right?
No.
And so then he goes, I'll do another one of those, but I'll twist halfway.
Oh,
and he goes like a kind of, you know, a
loop.
Yes, great Bickers.
I'm all over it.
Jesus, this is your professional snowboarding pass coming back. So he does that. It's great. And then he goes way out a bit further and I said, come on, Steve, more loop-de-loops.
Yeah.
And he goes, do you want to do more? I'm like, yeah. And then in the space of about 5 seconds, I realised that there was no kind of air coming through.
Oh, God. Oh,
and I went from
the
absolutely.
Feeling. It's like when you get in the back of a cab and you're like, oh, shivers.
Yeah. Or you lie down in bed
the
and
back of
the
cab.
Room starts swimming. You know when cabbies go, hey, do you want to do a loop de loop?
That's the only time I'm normally sick on the way home in the back of the cab.
And I just started sweating. Oh. And I didn't want to let him know because I was having the
and
best
you couldn't
time
wind
in
out
the
window,
world.
Of course.
There's nothing.
No.
There's no air. And it's quite hot. Because the sun like comes through and you're in a little cabin, and I radioed through. And I said, "Steve, I think I'm so sorry. I think I'm just a little bit crook." And he goes, "Okay, we're going to do a loop to it, but I want to show you the coastline." And he does this slow sweeping turn over the coast that kind of goes sideways, and you can see it's the ground. It's amazing. And then as that straightens out,
could you really enjoy that though?
No, I still love that. But then, as it straightened out, it suddenly felt like my guts were pinballing around my kind of body. And I just gently just unraveled my sick bag. And I reckon I spewed about 20 times. And I felt so bad because
I'm so glad you don't have audio of this.
After my 10th shoe, Steve, such a legend and so polite, he just radios through to my ear and he goes, Tommy, mate, I'm joking, you could just turn your radio off while you spew there, champ.
Oh, poor guy man.
Who's trying to fly a fighter jet while I ralph
his
in
head.
His ear.
Is that why the other day I could hear Sonda talk about something to do with having a spew bag in her car? Was that your spew bag?
So I got out.
Was that?
No, I got out because then we had to do some push-ups. So then we landed and I've got my bag of spew in my hand.
Oh, my God.
And then we landed.
I thought it was Henry's.
And so then we had to get out and do push-ups because it's for the push-up challenge. And I'm like looking at it, and Son runs over and goes, hand it to me. And I'm like, okay. But then I didn't realize. Yeah, well, I thought she did. But then, because then Son said ages later that the spew's still in the car. And I said, why didn't you put it in a bin? And you said,
there was no bin. So I just.
So you drove the whole way home with a spew bag in your car.
You
know what?
I think she's,
I think she's collecting my spew. What a sicko. What
and
a sicko
I left
song!
It there for hours.
Oh my God!
Anyway, the push-up challenge is awesome, And
what an awesome prize.
Oh, I said to Steve, I said, it's got to be something incredible for me to spew and still have had the best time
ever.
That's
a Saturday night for you,
and
isn't
it? Donations are still flooding in for the push-up challenge, thepushupchallenge.com.au.
So are you going to do it?
Yeah, I am. And you said about that it's 3,000. And 46 is the number of push-ups you need to do.
A month to do it.
Tragically, that is the number of lives lost in Australia in 2018 due to the mental health of our nation.
That's horrible.
It is. But what a great number to bring awareness to people and realise that we really are not always on top of things in this
country.
And
that is a good
organisations like Headspace are vital to keeping people alive, making us reduce that number to get it down and down so we're not losing loved ones more often. I'm going to do these push-ups tomorrow in our show because...
How many are you going to do
during our show?
What do you mean, the 3,046?
Yes.
That'd take you days to... What? As if you're going to be able to do them in a row. How many have you ever done in a row before?
100? I know that's not... No, I'll stop for bits and then keep going.
You'll stop for how... What? Okay,
I reckon
we'll... I mean, I know I'm meant to be supportive because it's a very...
Suppositive.
We'll get you a suppositive
I don't want to be blowing out both ends.
Okay.
We'll work out the numbers with Husey and Ed next.
Why are they going to help?
Because I figure Ed's good at fitness stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not?
No.
No.
You just said no.
No, I just don't think it's possible. I don't think it's about me not being good with
That's
numbers.
That's why I'm going to other people.
Okay.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. This is Carrie and Tommy.
And if you haven't seen the video of Tommy in a fighter jet yet, jump online.
I've seen
Carrie
it.
And
I've
Tommy
seen
show.
It. It was great. Mm. How many Gs did you pull?
Five.
Ah, oh, that's good Gs.
Enough to and then I spewed up all five of them.
Good.
Was it an early spew or a late spew?
Where was
it was a mid. We got some tricks out of the way and then a good spew session.
You felt good afterwards? Like, you know, like when you'd go drinking and then vomit and then go back to drinking? Was it that?
I said, bugger it. Chuck another loop-de-loop in there.
Yeah, man.
Let's go again.
What was the... Because it wasn't an F-18. It was a... not a Marguerite. It was a...
McKinney.
Do you think you're going to spew?
Next Singapore Air Force.
How early on into your push-up challenge do you think you're going to spew?
Yes, we're doing this because whoever raises the most money for the push-up challenge gets to do that same flight. The push-up challenge is 3,046 push-ups,
which I'm
going to do. Well, I'm going to do
in a row.
No, not in a row.
Little break.
What do you reckon is the minimum amount of time I can do that in?
3 days.
Because I want to do it in the show. What? We've only got tomorrow.
No. 3,000 push-ups.
He thinks he can get it done while we're on air. Like,
what are they counting as a push-up?
You're going right to the floor.
Is it toes?
Yeah. Right to the floor. Toes, yeah.
How many could you think he could do in our 2-hour show?
Does he have to do any work or is he just doing that?
Well, it'd be helpful if he could chat at some point.
How many alcohol-free days? How many?
I
was a bit disturbed the other day when you're talking about you were considering having an alcohol-free day. But then you watched the Jordan doco and thought you had to drink whiskey because he was drinking it.
That's correct.
That makes me wonder what's going on in your life. Like,
only that's making you wonder what's going on in his life. It's been years of that.
When was your last alcohol-free day that you almost had?
No, I ended up having one yesterday.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's just getting ready for the push-up challenge.
I'm warming up. Thanks, guys.
So you can have double tomorrow.
So if I start at midday, do you reckon I can have it done by the end of our show?
3,000?
You won't get over 200.
What do you mean?
No, you'll get over
in
200.
A row before he has to
No, I'm just saying in general because the lactic acid will build up.
Oh,
and then you're going to have a lot of breaks. I want you to do it.
How long a break would he have after 200 before he could then go again?
No. He won't be. He'll be lucky to get 30 something.
So what's a good...
He'll get 30 in a row and then have to have a break.
No, you'll get... I can do 30.
What's a good stints to do then? Should I do stints of 20, Ed?
Yes.
Why is
You don't want to be maxed out. You want to always have some energy left.
And then what's the gap? What's the break?
Oh, no, just go judge by your body. Once it's recovered,
Where did the number 3,000 come up from?
It's a very significant number. It's the number of people that were lost to suicide in 2018.
Right, okay.
So it's raising money for Headspace to support people's mental health.
So many.
Yeah, that's why these things are important.
Too many. One's too many.
Now, I'm now back talking about push-ups.
Yes. So how many do you reckon I can do from midday to the end of our show?
230.
Oh, come on!
400.
No. 400.
So okay. Then what, well, do you just keep doing them overnight?
I guess then
you break and then do it again the next day.
But we'll get more than that. That's fine.
You'll get more than, what's your peak? What do you think you'll get?
Well, everyone still
said
think I can
Ed
get
Ed said 200. Hughes 400. Says 400.
I'm not doing 800. I think I can get the whole amount.
I reckon you can do 800.
No.
Yeah, I'm going to go 1,000. You can do 1,000.
Yes,
yeah,
that's the environment.
Whatever I fall short, I will donate.
I'm fascinated by it. I can't wait for it to start.
About it.
Got me in.
Good luck.
When is it? Tomorrow.
The Carrie and Tommy Catch Up podcast is done for the day. Right now, get big brand vitamins and cosmetics for half price at Chemist Warehouse. Conditions apply. Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day. Boom, boom, boom.